on the knoll. There's a place for me there, another for my mother, and one for my husband, should he choose to occupy it. Others of the family have already arrived. My grandfather was the first, James Frederick Mallon, always known as J.F. Then came Nana, Jacqueline. Then my uncle, James Devere Mallon, J.D., of course. And next, his wife, Sally. They were married late-ish in life. Sally had been his college sweetheart, but it took them a long time to get together. It was a quarrelsome marriage, and they had a lifetime of arguments to accomplish in a relatively small number of years. Lacking his favorite sparring partner, my uncle argued with anyone he could collar for the six years left life to him following Sally's death. Several years passed before the next arrival, my mother's sister, Marjorie Mallon Truman. Her husband, Stanley, joined her in 1993. Each new family occupant of the Graves Cemetery, just off Highway 32, west of Orland, California, was escorted by a caravan, a troop of family, a dwindling number of elder members, and the occasional representative or two of the next generation. These heedless young ones would whoop and gallop among the leaning, mossy headstones at the old end of the grounds, while the rest of the party stood around and made small conversation. "Well, I see the Lindows haven't been pruning the shrubs here lately." Or, "Looks like the pyracanthus getting out of hand there next to the Glenn's plot." Recent arrivals were noted and commented upon. I love this place. It occupies a windy knoll where the breeze lifts my hair and brings me the perfume of the neighboring dairy farm on the north, a splendid place of mud and green grass and alfalfa bales, a white barn and Harlequin Holstein cows who view their world with acceptance and large, soft eyes. If I turn toward the south, I can count a dozen tiny ranch houses, mostly ramshackle, each with its allotment of more or less dilapidated farm vehicles, randomly deployed chickens, a goat or two, and the inevitable clothesline bedizened with work clothes, bed sheets, and towels. Turning to the west, I look up into the buttes, foothills of the Yalabali Range. Here begins sheep country. My grandfather at one time only owned a goodly portion of this land. It wasn't especially desirable acreage, but sheep managed to thrive here, and a living could be made if the rains came and the grasses flourished and one didn't lose too many head to coyotes and harsh winters. On a spring day, there is nowhere lovelier than this knoll. The trampled grass smells peppery, sharp and clean, and the wild mustard stripes the hillside with yellow from a giant painter's brush. Golden poppies open to the sun, gaudy polka dots flung across the waving green. There are olive trees. The breeze ripples through their gray leaves with a sound like water tumbling over river petals. Meadowlarks hurl their silvery cadenzas from fence posts, and mourning doves croon softly to each other. A specialized taste is required to appreciate this place in summer, for it is not then lovable. The lushness of spring has evaporated. The opportunistic grasses have dried to stubble, and the north wind blows a hot, dry breath across the knoll. The weather is not friendly to the shrubs lovingly planted next to loved one's resting place. But in the evening, the ground-level markers retain the sun's warmth, and rattlesnakes emerge from their daytime crannies to hunt for field mice and to bask on the friendly rough stones. They find no ill in the summer wind, as could no sincere lover of this unique and lonely spot. In December of 1964, our family caravan escorted my grandmother's ashes to the knoll. My tall, spare, sinewy Nana was as much a part of the land where she lived, just over the buttes, beyond Stony Creek in the next valley. as were the bending willows and sturdy oak trees on the family ranch. She found glory in winter, each clap of thunder and flash of lightning. She loved the wind, although she was heard to remark, "North wind just dries up the milk of human kindness in my veins." Praise and thanks were given for the sun and shower alike. All were a part of God's bounty. During the darkest storm, she would simply sing a little louder, "Rock of ages cleft for me," or "Jesus wants me for a sunbeam." By the time of our winter assembly at the graveside, a storm began to boil up over the hills, and the wind howled at us from every direction, stinging our faces with needles of cold. We stamped and snorted like horses anxious to return to the barn. As the short service drew to a close, above the roar of the wind, we heard the unmistakable honking of geese. Far above us, piercing tattered clouds, the ragged chevron appeared, great wings bearing them toward the south, calling encouragement amongst their ranks. We watched until we could see them no more. Then my mother said, "This is a day Nana would have loved." Any day on the knoll is a good day. It's a fine place to rest.